Acts chapter 20, the first lesson was on regeneration, a supernatural work. Salvation is a supernatural work. We talked about some things that are false today that are being taught, such as universalism. Everybody's going to heaven. Okay, that's not true. That's not found in the Word of God. We talked about some people believe in baptismal regeneration, that baptism is part of salvation. It is clearly not taught in the Scriptures. We also talked that salvation is not reformation. It's not changing your life and, you know, turning your life around. It is also not easy believism. It is not just believing that Jesus existed and that Jesus died. And then we talked about the source of biblical salvation. God is the source. God is the one that brings salvation. We talked about some terms. There is a spiritual regeneration. There is a spiritual quickening and resurrection. There is a spiritual translation, and there's a spiritual creation. Now, last week we deal with a very important subject when it concerns salvation, and that is the idea of, or the doctrine of, repentance and faith. That was the first part last week, repentance and faith, and we began in Acts chapter 20. But we hit a few things. We talked about the requirement of repentance. In other words, it is taught in the Scriptures. There is a biblical precedence for the doctrine of repentance, and some people that deny the doctrine of repentance are denying the Word of God. We also talked about how the Bible preachers, from John the Baptist to Jesus Christ to the Apostle Paul to those of Peter who preached in the book of Acts, preached repentance. It was clear to see in the Scriptures. And then we talked about the road to repentance. There is a heavenly initiator, and then there's a human also instrumentality that we can be part of the work that God is doing in this world. And then we talked about the revealing of repentance. There is evidence seen in a person's life when a person truly has repented. Now we're going to continue here considering the doctrine of repentance in Acts chapter 20, verse number 17. Acts chapter 20. Notice verse 17. The Bible says, "And from Miletus he sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church. And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia after that what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mine and with many tears and temptation which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews. And how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you and have showed you and have taught you publicly and from house to house, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks," notice, "repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, let me, before we can go into this, delve into this lesson, give you a few scripture. We know that the doctrine of repentance towards God and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ is a Bible doctrine. In Acts chapter 5, verse 31, we already established that. The Bible says, "Him hath God exalted with His right hand to be a prince and a savior, for to give repentance to Israel and forgiveness of sins." In Acts chapter 11, verse 18, we already dealt with the verse, but he says, "Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life." In other words, repentance and faith are instigated by the Holy Ghost at the same time. Repentance is not a work of man any more than faith is the work of man. God has given to every man the measure of faith. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 3 tells us this, "For I say, through the grace given to me, to every man that is among you, not to think himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." In other words, every man has the measure of faith necessary to be saved. But not every man is saved. There must be an act of the will to trust Christ. But both repentance and faith are instigated by God. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 2 tells us that He is the author and the finisher of our faith. Nobody goes to hell because they can't believe the gospel. Can I say that again? Nobody goes to hell because they can't believe the gospel. People remain lost and go to hell because they won't use what God has given them. Repentance and faith. Okay? So the act of the will is necessary for man. Revelation chapter 22, verse 17 tells us, "And the Spirit of the bride said, Come, and let him that heareth say, Come, and let him that is athirst come. And whosoever will, let him take the water of life freely." So we understand, we've already established that repentance and faith is the work that God does in the heart and the life of men to bring him to a place where he must make a decision. Okay, God has given every man a will, an opportunity to make a decision. But again, salvation is not of man, it's of the Lord. And there's a balance there. Some people go extremes because on one hand you have just this about believing, just believe Jesus. And on the other hand it says you can't believe, Jesus makes you believe. No, the Lord brings you to the place of repentance and faith. He gives you the measure of faith. He leads you to repentance, but it's a decision of the will. Now, we're going to examine repentance. Notice the first point here, repentance examined. That'll be the first blank there in your notes, I believe. Everybody got a copy of that? Is there an extra copy?
There's one more.
Yeah. Could you mind if I get that so I know where everybody can fill their blanks out? Because I have my notes, but I need to see that, so that'll help me. Thank you. So notice repentance examined. First of all, letter A, we see what repentance is not. Now, we dealt with that, but I want to make this clear because there's a lot of misunderstanding as to what repentance is or is not. Now, repentance is not, number one, ceasing from sin. Repentance is not ceasing from sin. Now, and the Bible says in 1 John chapter 1, verse 8, and obviously he's writing to here believers, he says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Now, he's writing here clearly to believers. These believers already knew that they had eternal life. Therefore, repentance has nothing to do with being sinless or quitting to sin. Some people have the idea today that if you repent, you won't sin again. That is not true. It is not ceasing from sin. Now, you are going to sin less, but it doesn't take away the sin nature, not yet. So repentance is not ceasing from sin. Number two, repentance is not penance. Now, as many part of the Catholic institution used to do once a year, they would go crawling up those steps and kick and kiss the Pope's toe and beat themselves and embrace beads trying to appease God because of what? Of their sins. In some countries, people crawl down the street on broken glass with their backs bleeding, doing penance for their sins. Even most recently, Pope John Paul was known for whipping himself. Why did he do that? There's a long tradition among Catholic mystics and scholars of inflicting pain on your body as both a form of penance for sins and also an imitation of the sufferings of Christ. And may I say that repentance is not penance or punishing myself to pay for my sin. Somebody has already done that. Somebody has already suffered. Why would you make yourself suffer if somebody has already suffered for your sin? Repentance is not me purging my own sin, as many people believe. And by the way, many monks still do that today. Repentance is not quitting something or making restitution for the wrong done. Sinning less is the outcome or the fruit of repentance. It is not repentance itself. That's very important. Okay? Sinning less is the outcome and the fruit of repentance. It is not repentance itself. Very important. So, repentance is not ceasing from sin. Repentance, number two, is not penance. Number three, repentance is not reformation. Now, I touched on this in the second lesson, but repentance has to do with a change of mind and a change of attitude, but it's not me reforming. In other words, sometimes, and I think I understand it, but we have to be careful. Some preachers sometimes have said, well, God bless you, if you got saved and you didn't quit this sin, and they mentioned something and or that sin, then you didn't get saved. You got to be careful. In other words, they determine whether you got saved or not by whether you reform your life, not by whether you trusted Christ as your personal Savior. There's an importance there. Again, the fruit, the evidence will be there. But it is not. We have to understand that true biblical repentance will produce change in a person's life. But we don't determine whether people repented by whether they quit everything and reform immediately. I think all of us could realize, look back on our salvation and say, it took me a while to quit certain things. or to make me aware. And sometimes we've got to be careful, because sometimes we look at somebody and we say, well, they're not where I am, so they didn't get saved. Well, wait a minute. Where were you when you got saved? You weren't where you are today, if you've grown during that time. And so we have to be careful. You know, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 7 and 8 talks about the children of God living in sin. He says, if ye endure chastening, God dealeth with you as with sons. For what son is he whom the Father chasteneth not? But if ye be without chastisement, whereof all are partakers, then are ye bastards and not sons. One of the strongest indicators of whether or not somebody is saved is not whether they do right. Say, what do you mean by that? But how God responds to them when they do wrong. Do we understand that? It is possible for someone to reform their life, to turn their life around, without biblical repentance. So it's not reformation. May I say, there will be fruit to that. There will be evidence in a person's life. But one of the evidences, again, of someone that's a child of God, is someone that is chastened of the Lord for doing the wrong thing. In other words, how do I know I have the Holy Spirit? When I sin, I get convicted. And there's no rest there until I get it right with God. You see, that's an evidence of the fact that I repent. Dr. Dennis Core, illustration of the difference between reformation and salvation. Let me read here the portion he wrote on the book there, Repentance to Salvation. In 2 Peter 2:20 through 22, it says, For if after they have escaped the pollutions of the world through the knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, they are again entangled therein and overcome, the latter end is worse with them than the beginning. For it had been better for them not to have known the way of righteousness, than, after they have known it, to turn from the holy commandments delivered unto them. He mentions in this book, could it be that the holy commandment is that of Acts 17:30, where God commandeth all men everywhere to repent? But it is happened unto them according to the true proverb, the dog is turned to his own vomit again. Now, wait a minute. Did you notice he's still a dog? His nature has not been changed. So he's going to act like a dog. He's been enlightened, but he hasn't been changed. It is let me ask you this. Is a clean hog still a hog? It's not the dirt that makes him a hog, but it's nature by birth. Unless you change the nature, you cannot clean a dog up, and he's still a dog. If you take a hog, you can wash it, clean it up, polish it, and shine it, but it's still a hog. It's not the mud that makes it a hog, it's his nature from birth. Unless the nature is changed, it is still a hog. Do we understand the difference there? Because someone can clean their lives up on the outside, but they can still be sinners with the sin nature, not changed. Just like you would by cleaning a pig. It's still a pig. It doesn't make him something else. He mentioned there's a poem, there are two natures. Two natures struggle in my breast. The one is foul, the other blessed. The new I love, the old I hate. The one I feed will dominate. What this poem says is only true of a child of God. The lost man has only that fallen nature he was born with, regardless of how much he refines it. So, repentance is not reformation. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. He tells us what happens as a result of repentance. So again, repentance is not ceasing from sin. Repentance is not penance. Repentance is not reformation. But also, number four, repentance is not mental assent to facts. In other words, it's not just believing something intellectually and agreeing with it. You know, there are many people that know factually that Jesus Christ died for the sins of the world. They know that in their mind. But it's never changed them. They've never been brought to a place of repentance. And some people sometimes say, well, I'm saved because I believe Jesus died for my sins. Therefore, I'm going to heaven. It's not that. That is not repentance. So this is what repentance is not. Letter B, what repentance is. Well, Number one, we see the accurate definition of repentance. There are two different words translated repent in the New Testament. Now, let me say this. The purpose of word studies is not to correct the Bible, but to better understand the Bible. That's very important. Definitions do not change the meaning. They reveal the meaning. All right. Now, the first word we find, you have there a little A, is metanoeo. This word is the most frequently used word for repentance in the New Testament. It is mentioned 59 times out of the 64 times the word repent is found in the New Testament. Thayer's was a linguist who studied language who was very concerned about proper definition. Thayer says this word is used especially of, look at the definition, those who conscious of their sin with manifest tokens of sorrow are intent upon obtaining God's pardon. All that. In other words, it's not just sorrow. It's not just feeling bad about your sin. It's being conscious of your sins, which produces sorrow in your life with an intent upon obtaining God's pardon. In other words, first, they see their sin. They are grieved about it. Not just what they've done and the consequences, but the fact that they have grieved God and they are intent on getting forgiveness, on getting a solution, on getting their need met. Now, that will turn your heart not just from wrongdoing, but to the Lord Jesus Christ because He is the only solution for sin. So again, the first word we find 59 times out of the 64 times in the New Testament is the word repent, metanoeo, which means, again, being conscious of the sin upon manifest tokens of sorrow and intent upon obtaining God's pardon. The second word, repent, is the word metalilomai. The word is used 5 times. Now, this word is a much weaker word than the first one we looked at. It means to have second thoughts about something or to have over care. It is mentioned 5 times there. That's your blank there. In other words, it's the word used of, remember Judas in Matthew chapter 27 verse 3? He repented? We're not talking about biblical repentance. We're talking about the second word, repent, have afterthoughts. Notice Judas. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, not the first word, the second word, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders. In other words, Judas turned from his sinful act, but he didn't turn to Christ. Not the first repenting. It carries the idea of guilt, but unforgiven guilt. It means being under guilt and wishing you had not done what you just did. It may cause you to turn from wrongdoing, but it does not cause you to turn to Christ, because Judas did not. Someone may say, yes, I agree that I did the wrong thing. But that person does not necessarily turn to God for the cure. Repentance is more an attitude than an action. It is the condition of the heart. Salvation is not the result of me turning from sin as much as it is turning to Christ as the solution and cure for my sin and my guilt. Repentance is not a matter of me knowing everything I've done wrong and remembering every sin I've committed. It's a matter of me abandoning the love of sin for the love of Christ to get the solution for my sin. That word repent, the second one, is also used in Hebrews 7:21. Where the Bible says, the Lord swear and will not repent. That's not the first word, repent. It's the second word. It means that God has sworn and He has no afterthoughts, no remorse about what He said. He is going to carry it through. God never has second thoughts about His promises or His vows. So that's that word again, the second Greek word, to repent. And there's another example in 2 Corinthians 7, verse 10. For godly sorrow worketh repentance to salvation, not to be repented of. The two words there are the two different words, repent. It talks about the first one, repentance unto salvation, does not need to be repented of. The second Greek word, metalimoi. It is simply saying that if you turn to Christ, You don't have to regret what you've done or lament or have afterthoughts or worry over it. As seen in this verse, there's a great deal of difference between metanoeo and metalemoi. So that is, notice, the accurate definition of repentance. There's only two words in the New Testament found for him, and they are there. 59 times the first word for repentance, and 5 times the other word, which is a weaker form of the word repentance. Now notice the areas affected in repentance. That's number 2 there. The areas affected in repentance. A person must turn from whatever it is that keeps him from Jesus, whether it's sin, whether it's unbelief, or whether it's false doctrine. Now, I began the lesson last week with talking about how there are 3 things that we have to change our mind about. Sin, self, and the Savior. But may I say that these 3 things may not necessarily all be present, although they could be. In other words, let me illustrate. First of all, letter A, we see a change of mind about, notice, sin. Let me ask you this. Can a sinner be saved without repenting of his sin? The answer is no. Now, Matthew 9:13 says, "For I am not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance." He did not say unbelievers to belief, but sinners to repentance. Unbelief is not the only sin that keeps people from getting saved. Now, many people today, they want to go to heaven, but many people also don't want to change. Many times, it is the love of sin and the unwillingness to be changed that keeps people in an unbelief. In other words, people believe that Jesus died. People believe that He died for their sins. But what is it that's keeping them from truly experiencing salvation? It is their sin. They haven't changed their mind about their sin. Therefore, they cannot believe unto salvation. We also see, notice letter B, a change of mind about self. Let me ask you this. Could a self-righteous man be saved without repenting of his self-righteousness? The answer is no. That's made clear for us in Luke chapter 18, verse 10 through 14. The Bible says, 2 men went up to the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee, and the other a publican. The Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, "God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I possess." And the publican, standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner." I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone that exalteth himself shall be ashamed, and he that humbleth himself shall be exalted. In other words, this man, he never saw his need of a Savior, so he never turned from his own righteousness to receive the righteousness of Christ by faith. So there has to be a change of mind about sin. There has to be a change of mind about self, or else you cannot be saved. But also there has to be a change of mind about the Savior. Let me ask you this. Can a Jehovah's Witness be saved without changing his mind about the Lord Jesus Christ? The answer is no. No. He can't just say a sinner's prayer to his Jesus without changing his doctrine and embracing the Jesus of the Bible. He would not be turning from unbelief, but rather from false doctrine to truth. So do you see here that when we talk about repentance, is repentance in these 3 areas? And it may not necessarily be all of them. Some people may be in church a long time and have their doctrine straight, but they're consumed with self-righteousness. Or some people may hear the gospel and they may say, "Well, I like that and I want to go to heaven," but they're unwilling to see God change their life. Why? Because they love their sin. They have to change their mind about sin. Sin, self, and the Savior. So these are the areas affected in repentance. Wow. The time just flew. The last one. Number 2. Repentance evidence. And, wow. We have to catch that next week because it's already... Wow, did that... Wait, no. Okay, it's just 30 after. Okay. We have time. Whew! I thought, man, we're at 10 till the service. We got to go. All right. Number 2, repentance evidence. Let me say this, that although the fruit is not repentance itself, repentance produces fruit. Do we understand that today? That we don't gauge a person's salvation on what they do, but a person that is saved will do certain things. Now there is fruit to repentance, but we do not believe that the fruit is the repentance any more than the apple is the tree. In other words, if you have an apple tree and it's barren, it's still an apple tree. Do we understand that today? It may not produce apples, but it's still an apple tree. It doesn't change the tree that it is. Matthew chapter 3, let's turn there to verse 7. Matthew chapter 3, verse 7. Now I can slow down because we've got plenty of time. Matthew chapter 3, notice verse number 7. The Bible says, "But when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said unto them, O generation of vipers, who hath warned you to flee from the wrath to come? Bring forth therefore," notice, "fruits meet for repentance." Notice later, turn a few pages in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, verse 17. He says here, "Even so, every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, but a corrupt tree bringeth forth evil fruit. A good tree cannot bring forth evil fruit, neither can a corrupt tree bring forth good fruit. Every tree that bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast through the fire. Wherefore, by their fruits ye shall know them." Does that mean that a fruit tree is supposed to bring fruit? I mean, is a fruit tree supposed to bring fruit?
Yes.
Yes, it is. You expect, anybody find a fruit tree? Did you get fruit? Did you get fruit? Did you get fruit? That's a good feeling, isn't it? There's frustration if you plant an apple tree and no apples come. There's a frustration there. There's an expectation. But may I say that that's not what makes it what it is. But isn't that what it's supposed to do? We understand the difference here. I'm trying to make sure that we understand that it is expected in repentance to see fruit. But fruit is not repentance. In other words, it is the intention, it is its purpose, but it is not repentance itself. But it does produce fruit, as he says here. "By their fruits ye shall know them." In other words, does God know what he's done in your life? Yes, God knows. So do you. If God's changed your life, you know it. God knows it. But how does the world know? By your fruit. You see, so this idea is not for us. It is not for God. It is for the world. Because he's saying, "By their fruits ye shall know them, whether they truly are in the faith." That's kind of where James is. Can a man say he has faith and not works? Can that faith that he says save him? The answer is no. In other words, faith itself saying, "Well, I have faith," that doesn't save you. In other words, James says that there is evidence to a world of the faith that's taken place in your life. Now, we see here the repentance evidence in two ways. First of all, letter A, it produces redemption. In other words, my eternal destiny is changed forever. From death unto life. From hell to heaven. From separation from God to fellowship and communion with God. That is the first fruit of repentance. But the second fruit of repentance is it produces conversion. Now, sometimes we mistakenly talk about conversion. In our mind, we think that's regeneration. That's not conversion. Acts chapter 3, verse 19 says, "Repent ye therefore, and be converted." After repent. Now, the word converted has the idea of the word, the way it's used in the Greek, is a continual. In other words, conversion, the fruit of repentance, will change the course of action. In 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17, the Bible says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." There is a difference between redemption and conversion. It's all in one package when we receive the gift of eternal life. But conversion is a long process, turning me into what God wants me to be and expects me to be from the beginning. Salvation, as far as redemption is concerned, is immediate, but conversion is a long process that is described in the Bible as growing in grace. In other words, we are continually being converted into the image of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that happens at the moment of salvation, but conversion is a process. The Lord converts us. In other words, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2 and 8. For by grace are you saved through faith, and then not of yourself. That is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. 4. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God hath before ordained that we should walk in them. What are we before ordained to? To be converted. In other words, for God to do the work that He wants to do in our lives. In other words, we would all agree that when we get saved, we basically knew nothing. But as we grow in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ, and as He does that work of a converting work, we could also refer to that as sanctification. That is a process. Now, we are declared sanctified in the moment of salvation, but there's a process of sanctification where God the Lord brings us along and makes us more like the Lord Jesus Christ as we submit ourselves to Him. Philippians chapter 2, verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. Conversion has to do with God gradually changing my life, and even this has to do with my will and my choice. So it is important to consider the fruit of repentance. So we dealt a little bit with that, but let me say that the fruit is not repentance itself. But when true repentance happens, fruit is expected. Just as much as if you plant an apple tree, you expect apples. It is the expectation. It is the purpose of the tree. And the Lord Jesus Christ does a work in our lives, conforming us to the image of the Lord Jesus Christ, allowing us to grow in grace and in the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, we ought not to be satisfied where we are now. Have you attained perfection yet? Man, I could wave my arm, both arms, and say, not me! I'm a really far away from the Lord Jesus Christ and where I need to be. And so therefore God comes in and does the converting process. Converts what is bad. Turns it to good. Changes my thoughts life. And turns it to good. Everything in the Christian life changes. But may I say, it is repentance towards God, and we're going to deal with next week, and faith towards the Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance is a Bible doctrine. And unless a person biblically repents, as we see, it's not like the other one, where feeling sorry for yourself and feeling sorry about your sin, but repentance towards God, in other words, a turning to God, not a turning, well, I'm going to make myself pay for my sin, or I'm going to change my life around and see what I can do. No, it is turning to God from my sin. It is more a turning to than a turning from. Does that make sense? Because when you turn to, you're turning from automatically. But may I say that you can turn from, but not turn to. That's what repentance is. Repentance and faith. It is a Bible doctrine, and it is necessary for salvation. No doubt about it in the Word of God.